week in Missouri Politics midweek update. I twisted Caitlin's arm, the editor here at the Missouri Times, to join us. Caitlin, thank you for making the time.
Yeah, anything for you.
And, well, she don't mean that, but, and I got this, last time I was on, I showed you the Thomas Jefferson sign. This is from the Doyle Scott and his family in Benton, Missouri. Thank you so much for watching the show and the midweek update, and thank you so much for sending these signs. It's a collection of four. There's two more I'll show you in the next couple weeks. These are great. These are probably my favorite signs I've ever had. Let me just take a pull real quick before we get started.
Well, I've got this from the local Schnucks. It's also great. It's
good folks.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
UFCW sure. Place. I got this popcorn from Tulsa's around the corner. Good. You want a piece of it?
No.
All right. So this week, not a lot going on. You know, it's almost like the Senate is a little bit cursed with education reform. This is where, like, if you're Chuck Schumer in Washington and you have a 50-50 Senate, you need everybody to show up. Mm-hmm. And if everybody don't show up, you got a problem. Well, here in Missouri, they have a seed number of Republicans in the Senate, but a lot of them are rural Republicans, and they don't just roll over on their schools easy. So it's a tight vote right now. If I had to guess, it's 17-17, somebody will flip, and they'll do something on schools. But interesting, last week, probably one of the interesting days in the House, Phil Christophanelli shined. I mean, Phil Christophanelli is the most, if you were a left-wing person, he would be your worst nightmare. Because Phil is kind of right-wingy, mm-hmm. but he's not some pie in the sky to put up stupid amendments to get attention and clicks on Facebook. He is the dude that actually accomplishes stuff. He like comes with a plan, maybe the most effective House member. And he, amidst all the fighting and throwing stuff at people and screaming and temper tantrums, it was so funny. You would not think that the two people, like you would think Phil Christophanelli would be but normally in the House, you know, the leadership tells them what to do, they all do it. Phil had to really push the wagon to get that done. Made some big choices, there's confrontation all over the place. But, you know, it's so funny. When you say Mike Kehoe's name, business people get excited. Like serious people, successful folks get excited. Sometimes the right wingers don't always just leap to their feet in joy and admiration for Mike Kehoe. However, the one person who went over there as the senior statesman of Missouri and made everybody be nice, made the speaker apologize, made it all work out, was Mike Kehoe. If you made a list of people that would have delivered education reform, would Mike Kehoe have been on your list?
Probably not, no.
I know. Heck of a deal. Is it Governor Kehoe? Sorry, I should say. And to Phil Christophanelli, I mean, he really believes in it. He cares about it. You know, it's funny. I've got a column I've been writing on this a little bit. By writing on this, I mean a cocktail napkins at bars all around the Jefferson City area. I heard a lot of whining about special interests, right? Mm-hmm. And usually that's what the Post-Dispatch does, right? They whine about special interests this, special interests that. So I was thinking, what is a special interest? So when the Post whines about it, the Star, a special interest would be, I guess, you would need a lobbyist, right? Like the Post and the Star have, a whole team of them, to protect their paper tax breaks, to protect their no sales tax on this, for the Kansas City, didn't even pay property tax at all on their big glass building. So, do they give out campaign contributions? Well, in this situation, the Post and Star really don't give out. I mean, the Missouri Press Association might do a little, but I would doubt they do, to be honest with you. But they do have a team of lobbyists protecting their special interest tax breaks. They get. Now, they want everybody else to pay more taxes. They don't want to pay taxes. Well, they'll say, don't tax me, tax that man behind that tree. Well, in the education debate, it's kind of funny. Everybody whines about special interests. Well, you know, on one side, your charter schools. Mm-hmm. They have lobbyists. One of the best. I mean, I tell you what, I've never been a big fan of that kind of stuff, but I was so happy for Kate Costas, one of the true good people. True, honest, sincere. She's respected by everybody in that building. And she's had a passion for this for a long time. I called her the day the first school became unaccredited in Missouri. Because her issue had kind of languished a little. Mm-hmm. And nobody really thought much about it. Then the first school got unaccredited. I called her immediately. I heard on KMX. Called her. I was like, I actually think this is what... And I'm sure there's a lot of other factors. Her hard work being... But really, when Delwood or something... I don't remember. One of the school districts went unaccredited, and that's when this issue really picked up steam. And I mean, you couldn't have a nicer, more professional person than Kate Costas to work on an issue. And obviously, she does a lot of other stuff, but this is kind of what I think a lot of people know her for, because it's what she started with, and she's at the front of it. She had one side of those lobbyists, and certainly schools The regular schools have lobbyists too, right? Mm-hmm. So then you talk about, well, what else does the special interest do? So they lobby people with lobbyists. They contact their members, which the schools are very, very good about reaching out, contacting their members. And it's always in Missouri, it's this interesting thing I found on the school side. You have the superintendents, which are always the villains in every story here. Everybody dumps on them, everybody hates them. They sort of play, they wear the black hat. And then you have in the middle, MSTA. NEA, everybody kind of knows where they're coming from, but a lot of MSTA folks are rural teachers, so a lot of them are Republicans. Then you have the School Board Association, who's like the ones that actually try to work these compromises out and make peace. And so it's interesting to me, in those special interests, they have lobbyists. And then what else is special interest? I guess they give campaign contributions. Well, in this case, I don't know if the schools give campaign contributions. Like, if they do, they're not a lie, right? If the Administrators Association gives out checks, they're not big. Nobody's gonna, you know, not enough to even notice, really. But now the charter school folks, see, I got a big stack of mail back at the farm saying Jason Bean is a bad, bad guy. Now, you would not, if you know Jason Bean, you would not recognize Jason Bean from these mails. They're saying he is a liberal, wants to defund police, Now, if you know Jason, that's not true. But I think it was the charter school folks sent out on that. Or at least they got blamed for it. With the dark money packs, you know, you don't really know, but so I don't know. I mean, special interests to me are just when you're whining. Everything's a special interest. Everyone has one, right?
Well, I was going to say a special interest to me would probably be my shoes. So do I need a lobbyist for those? Or?
Well, I mean, I hate to say this, Caitlin. You've sort of buried the lead here. You really should. I can't think of a way to get those shoes on camera. Maybe you'll take a picture and put them on Twitter.
Sure.
Because I'm just thinking logistics here, you know. I don't know how we get a picture of those shoes on camera at that angle and not and still be fit for a family show.
No, but they're gold. They sparkle.
They are amazing shoes. I'm looking at them right now. They are very gold and very outstanding. So at the end of the day, the House passes something called Educate. It's kind of a voucher. Basically, you get a voucher to go to private school, charter schools. I guess. So the thing I've heard folks talk about the most is open enrollment. Brad Pollitt. Brad Pollitt's a former superintendent. Serious guy, good guy, respected guy. And the one thing I've seen people on the charter side advocate for is they're like, hey, you know, the all they say is no. All the schools say is no. And then I'm not sure there's also truth to that, right? Yeah. They just said no to everything. Because they've not had to bend, because rural Republicans cared more about their districts than they did St. Louis Republicans in leadership. Well, now you have the St. Louis Republicans leadership telling the rural Republicans to do this. They're going to sit here saying don't. It was interesting. The whole fight was over when they were going to have the vote, right? So it's funny to me that if you have to think about, oh my God, we can't let these rural guys go back to their constituents who are going to hate this. They probably won't vote for it next week. Tells you a lot about your situation.
Yep.
Also, tells you a lot about Phil Christopher knowing that and pushing the issue. And getting 82. Good hat trick to the speaker, his staff. You know, maybe not the floor leader's best day, but we'll see. I think what may be the lasting thing about it is what really comes of it will be once you do that to somebody and just put them on blast like that, you make it where they have to respond. And what does that look like? That may be the lasting piece of this that matters, is what does that response look like to the putting on blast? And then what's the Senate do? So as I understand it right now, it's 17-17. Mm-hmm. And it's like in the House when they passed it a few years ago, there was not 82 votes for whatever. I'm not versed in school lingo. Whatever the bill was on the floor, something with charters, I'm sure. There was not 82 votes for that. About 75 votes for that. There was another 7 votes for Todd Richardson. And I think in the Senate, there is not 18 votes to screw with schools. It's just they're not there. However, there's probably 15 votes for this, or most likely they don't care. Like a lot of senators just don't care about this. So they're gonna vote with leadership because it's just, they don't care either way. They don't like their superintendents. They do like their teachers. They really don't have a dog in the fight. Education is not their top priority. So they'll go along with leadership, right? Which is that way on every bill. You can only have so many passions, right? And not everybody's passion is gonna be schools. So you got about 15 folks who either they are very supportive or they're like, yeah, whatever, I'll do whatever you want on this. And I think you might have another 3 that vote for Caleb Rowden. He went way out on a limb. He is by far the most talented leader the state has in the legislature right now. He is the He is the, if you had to rank, if it was a draft, right, if you were drafting people that, that are good politicians, but good people, people that could be governor in the legislature, you go Caleb, right? I don't take anybody over Caleb right now.
I think, too, I think through the debate that they had in the Senate last week on the education reform package, not only did he lead his side, his side's debate, but he gave some of the most impassioned and some of his better speeches, I think, from the floor.
And they were reasonable, calm. But,
like, regardless of where you
very Republican issue, speeches, yeah.
They're worried and really well.
They were very Republican speeches. Mm-hmm. Very managed, very measured.
Well, and I think I've told you this before, is I think this really underscores the rural urban divide in Missouri that might be a little bit more different in other states, but covering...
So the Missouri-Missouri divide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've learned that from you.
You're from Lebanon. You should say Missouri.
I do for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Well, you should for America, and because it's right.
Sure. But, like, covering other states, like New York, or even at the federal level, I never realized how much of a debate charters or education reform really was between Republicans alone. You know, in New York, yeah, if you're a Republican, you just for charter schools. That's just it. It makes my job a little easier. But here, that's not always the case, and I find that incredibly fascinating.
It's a little nuanced, too. Mm-hmm. I think most folks are for charter schools in St. Louis. If the school's failing, you know, I've not heard a lot of people take up for schools that were failing.
No, and I think, too, talking to some superintendents this week, they're not necessarily against charter schools. They just want to make sure that they have an even playing field.
You could have an interview with the Kansas City guy, right?
I did.
What's his name? Mm-hmm. Dr. Gerald, right? Something like, I think that's going to be interesting to hear, because he's been pretty open to charter schools.
Yeah, and his whole thing was he just wants to make sure that the playing field is level. He wants to make sure that, you know, he can pay teachers in his district a competitive salary.
My favorite line in all of it is, I'm here for the children. And I've even heard some, I've been credibly told, the children of the future.
People say that.
I mean, I've heard that from credible sources. Let's talk about something else, not about schools. I ain't been to school in a long time, I'm gonna go back. All right, you started. I don't know what you're talking about here. We let Caitlin pick the topic, see?
Oh, well.
She would anyway.
I would have talked about The Bachelor then if I would have known. Well,
Connor's here. It's only The Bachelor told you lie.
Fair. We had an endorsement in the race for Kip Kendrick's old House seat this week. Reverend Jesse Jackson backed David Tyson Smith, which I thought was kind of cool because he's from Greenville and that's where my parents live.
Well, you know, my pastor, Al Sharpton, mm-hmm, who I've got a photograph of somewhere, he didn't endorse in this race, but if he does, it'll be interesting.
I don't really think that he has any great opponent, so I'm not really sure what the endorsement does, other than it's kind of cool.
Well, I mean, you'd rather have it as not, yeah, right?
Of course.
I mean, yeah. If William Rock Hill Nelson would endorse our paper, I'd be like, that's awesome. I mean, that's a big deal. You're a successful guy. Not everybody likes William Rock Hill Nelson, the person that invented the Kansas City Star anymore, but what a heck of a guy. What an accomplished person.
Well, it gave me a chance to plug my parents' town into a story, so.
There you are.
It's crossover.
Let's talk about the tax cuts. I'm not for or against very many issues. I'm very anti-designated hitter, because I'm an American. And I'm very pro-tax cuts, because I figure if you keep cutting the government enough, they'll have to leave you alone. The bureaucrats ain't going to work for nothing. So if you just keep cutting government, eventually the government will leave you alone. So Lincoln Huff has a plan to cut the government, but it's like some cool stuff in there. It's like very innovative. Pat Thomas is sharpening a pencil somewhere. Like, you don't have to go to the DMV anymore, right?
Sure.
Great. Love it. Cut those taxes and cut them again and cut them again and cut them again. Good for him. I mean, I think if you look at the first 2 years of a Senate career in the term limits era, no one's had the role he's had. I mean, he's had success after success. It won't go this well forever. We'll see what his tax cut bill does. But, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I've seen some people that were surprised by it. But I'm like, well, you know, people are Republicans for a reason. And usually because they want less government. And if the Republicans could pop popcorn like Tolson's drugstore, they would have a bigger party. In Missouri, it's almost impossible, I guess. But
he's touting it as the largest tax cut in state history.
Yep. Right? Largest tax cut in state history. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, if you're a Republican, that's why you care. It's because you want lower taxes. I mean, at the fundamental thing, and there's a lot of people that are Republicans for religious reasons, right? So if you have a religious view and you think Republicans are religious, Democrats aren't, okay. But really, at the fundamental part of it, you're a Republican because you want a smaller government. Well, I'm telling you, it's never been tried before, but I really do think, like in Jefferson City, My God, they have so many bureaucrats. I mean, the place crawls with bureaucrats. I would say about a third of the town works for the state, and about a fifth of the town works for the city. But they have conservatively probably 400 meter maids downtown.
I knew that's where that was going.
Yeah, but Derek Spicer, city council, if you're not on board, join me in donating to Derek Spicer. He is going to actually cut government. He's going to be the first Republican in history since Ronald Reagan to cut government. And it's going to be great. I can't wait. I'm actually never been excited about a politician in so long. Well, I'm so excited about the Derek Spicer campaign. It's S-P-I-C-E-R, no relation to Sean Spicer. He actually is going to do something about the infestation of meter maids. Now, I don't know if he can do it. I don't know. I mean, it's a tall task. No one's taking it on yet. I mean, do you think he could actually do it? Actually cut government?
I've got to say, walking from our office to the Capitol, the amount of times I've almost gotten run over by one of those little carts.
Oh, sons of bitches.
Absolutely insane.
No
parking ticket, just almost, you know, die.
Well, Caitlin has been the only person who's invented a way to not have to deal with the meter maids. She just doesn't drive.
Yeah. I walk.
That, they want to take it back to the 1800s. I think they might be Amish. They want people to just walk, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but no, I mean,
I eat too much pizza, and that's partially your fault because you buy lunch and buy pizza. So
you don't get this fat eating salads.
At some point, I have to exercise.
It's better than popcorn and pizza. Well, I mean, I don't know if he can do it. I mean, when I think of like Churchill in World War II, I think of Lincoln during the Civil War. I think of Bismarck during the Franco-Prussian War. Can Derek Spicer do it? No one's been able to do it. No one's took him on. No one's beat him. So many people on High Street are so excited about him finally a leader stepping up and taking on real issues. I mean, I just feel like somewhere Ronald Reagan and Edmund Burke just like have a thumbs up. They're in heaven looking down saying, Godspeed, Derek Spicer. You can do it. I don't know if he can do it or not. I mean, it's a heavy row to hoe. It's a heavy yoke he's taking upon himself. But, you know, all we can do is support good people, right? Evil perish when good men do nothing. And Derek Spicer is a good man. I hope he gets every vote. And then go on to City Hall, where I guess meter maids are right there with Jesus and guns as far as popularity. I think he can do it. I mean, I'm going to buy him a chainsaw if he wins, just to take it in there and just start cutting government. Just start cutting it in half.
Beautiful gift.
Go down there and knock some windows in, sell one of those meter maid things. I'd buy one right now. If they wouldn't replace it, I'd pay good money for one of them things.
You know,
I'd push it in the damn river.
I spent a month in Africa reporting, and they have the same cars. Those little tiny cars.
No, did I tell you? I've won 1,000 tickets. I've requested a jury trial. I'm hoping it will call attention to the problem of the infestation.
I did get out of a ticket once. I think I told you.
Yes, we know.
One of the proudest moments.
I believe this. This is not. There's no one, no dude that gets tickets is surprised by this story. Heard it 1,000 times.
I just had to call and say I didn't believe I deserved the ticket. And they were like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah. But this is bigger than me now. This is about all of us. This is about America. This is about liberty, freedom. This is pro-life and pro-gun.
Do you think President Biden should take on the issue of meter maids in Jeff City?
I don't think he's up to it. I don't think he could do it. I mean, really, if Trump would have focused like a laser, he might have been able to do it. Just because Trump could get stuff done.
But I view
Derek Spicer in many ways a modern-day Trump.
I have a question for you.
And Lincoln and Washington.
How disappointed were you that Trump left office before he pardoned Joe Exotic?
Oh, failure. I'm just going to tell you. Oh, we're about done here, but let me take a side notch for you. You know, I'm from rural Missouri, so I understand Trump's appeal. But I'll tell you this. Donald Trump had two major failures. The designated hitter coming to the National League under his watch, he didn't do shit. And he didn't pardon Joe Exotic. He pardoned a bunch of other people, which, look, I think it's good. I don't trust the government. I don't trust them putting people in jail. Never. I would never vote guilty on a jury, ever. I'd be like, no. I don't never trust the government enough to vote guilty, ever. Hopefully, the meter maid, I won't go to prison for my parking tickets. Although it's possible. You know, I have so many of them. But, by the way, I think that he, and then Joe Biden comes into office, right? What's the National League not going to have? Biden delivering for America. Scoreboard. What are you going to, I mean, scoreboard.
I feel like Biden's about to be your favorite president of all time.
Well, I mean, look, how do you argue that? Donald Trump didn't produce. Joe Biden's producing on my most important issue. I'm a single issue voter.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So, no show this week, a little preemption this week. What else is going on?
We're getting ready to move up to the next tier of the vaccine next week on Monday, I think. I think it's next
when
week.
When do overweight Germans in their 40s get it?
I don't know that specific category is on the tiers, but it's the 15th is when we go up to the next tier.
And it's like teachers?
Yeah. Teachers.
Well, good for teachers.
I think the tier system is pretty...
There's a gal, Erica Hoffman, had a petition about getting teachers.
Sure.
On the list. And right. And I mean, before she could even present it, it got done. So, I mean, that's effective.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Joe Biden of teacher vaccine petitions.
Yeah, makes sense. You know? I think the vaccine distribution has also really highlighted how different Missouri is, because you've got people in Columbia who just can't... They can't get vaccines quick enough, and they still have people in some of those earlier tiers.
Oh, the city people. I used to watch CNN. I had the best time. Because they just want everything Trump did. They'd be like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. I can't believe you did this. It was, and I just laughed. It was, I love watching CNN. Because they would just whine and whine.
Oh, okay, like now.
No. Because they're just smug and happy. And I don't. I like it when there's this old boy comes on every Anderson Cooper. And then after Cuomo's brother. And this old boy would just whine, everything, he'd be just so triggered. But now, St. Louis people, they should get all the vaccines, right? Of course they do. They're St. Louis people, that's what they do. They want all the vaccines. And they get so pissed off that Putnam County has a few vaccines and stuff. And I kind of get my schadenfreude fill of watching St. Louis people complain they don't get 105% of the vaccines. Good for Mike Parson for saying, by God, we're going to give you yours, but you ain't going to get all of them. I mean, you know, last time we had St. Louis governor, we don't know what happened.
I didn't live here then.
I did. So, well, I think that's enough, right? You got to go back and do real work?
Yes.
All right. Thank you all for joining us for the Midweek Update. We will see you next week on the Midweek Update. And 2 weeks from now, we will see you on This Week in Missouri Politics.